The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
But what if all of it was just a story? What if what we believe is simply an elaborate, epic fantasy tale? Lots of folks in our society think so. And many Christians surely at least doubt from time to time, what would it actually mean for us? And I mean actually, real world stuff. What would it mean for us if Christ is not risen, if he had not been raised? Today I would like for you to take your Bibles and look at 1 Corinthians 15. One of our readings for today, starting in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. And as you're turning there, a little context. Paul is writing to that church in the Corinthian area, the church at Corinth. We camped out there a little bit this last summer, and remember, saying it charitably, the Corinthian church was a mess. And Paul is having to deal with a lot of different things, and in this particular pericope, he's talking about this business of Christ being raised from the dead. So 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Stop right there. That must mean that some folks were saying that in the church. There is no resurrection from the dead. Verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. This passage of Scripture describes five pitiful consequences. Consequences for us if Christ is not risen from the dead and is not alive and well and is not the ultimate king of the universe with all authority in heaven and on earth. And just what would those consequences be? Again, the context here is that the community in Corinth, there's some folks saying there is no resurrection from the dead. Full stop. It's as if to say, everybody knows that. There's not resurrection. Nobody's going to be rising from the dead. So he seems to point out the obvious. He says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. In other words, if resurrection is not a thing, if it doesn't exist, then not even Jesus himself was raised from the dead. And what happens next is Paul throws out five consequences of that. If you're going to follow that logic, then here's the result, he says. I've got five of them. That is to say, if Christ is not raised from the dead. Now, before we get to that, let's be sure we understand what Paul really believes. Look at verse 20. He lays it out plainly. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. In other words, the first example, the first one. Doesn't mean he was a created being. It means that through the power of God, as we read earlier, Christ has been raised from the dead. And if he did it first, we can second through him. In other words, Paul is convinced that Jesus did rise from the dead and that his resurrection is the guarantee of our own resurrection. Here's how he said it in Romans 8, verse 11, if you want to jot that down. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's some good news. Need to hear that on Easter Sunday morning especially. So when Paul says right here in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians, where we are at the moment in chapter 15, if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised, then we won't be either. So let's go through them right now. Here's the first one. Ready? Consequence number one is this. Paul's preaching is vain, and so is our witness. Our witness is false, it's empty, preaching in vain. Look at the first bit of verse 14, would you? Are you still there? Verse 14 says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. In other words, it's empty. It doesn't do anything. It's not worth anything. It's false. If Christ has not been raised, then Paul's preaching, and then ours also, is both empty and powerless. That would be tragic, at least for me. Can I just get personal a minute? It would be the end of my calling. It would be the end of my vocation. I would quit this pastor thing if I came to believe that Christ was not raised from the dead. I'd be no better than a spokesperson for some tacky product on an infomercial. I mean, I think I could probably sell Flexomatic Miracle Spray. I do. But I do. Actually, I do. I do what I do because I really, actually, honestly believe that there is a Creator God and that His Son Jesus is alive and well and that He loves you. And that means I serve you and love you and teach as best I can because I truly believe that. And I want you to believe that too. And what about your preaching? We have retired pastors among us, Jay and Robert, that all of what they did throughout that marvelous lifetime of teaching and ministry would be useless, and your witness would be worth nothing at the post office or Trader Joe's or in your workplace or wherever if Christ did not rise from the dead. There's consequence number one. Paul's preaching and mine and yours would be empty and false if Christ is not raised from the dead. That's consequence number one. Here's consequence number two. And look at the last bit here of verse 14, the last bit. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and so therefore your faith also is in vain. And just to drive it home, verse 17 says it this way, your faith is worthless. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is worthless. Some translations say futile, empty, nonsense. If Christ is not raised, then your faith is empty and useless. That's it. Game over. Now, you might want to go the way of many, quote, sophisticated folks and say, hey, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a good example for us. We'll let him be that, I guess. That the stories of his resurrection are, in fact, I've heard people who purport to be Christians say this. The stories of his resurrection are examples for us and symbols pointing to the triumph of the human spirit or whatnot. But Paul's response to that is very blunt and very matter of fact. He says that if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is empty. It has no substance. It's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. And that means this. It means that your faith would be, catch this, that means that your faith would be as valuable as the world's. There'd be no difference. It's vain. There's no result. It's a wasted effort. That's consequence number two. Consequence number three, I'd be still in our sins. Look at verse 17. It says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Thanks be to God, we're not. But things are getting serious. Paul points out, listen, a crucial connection between the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. He's saying this, if Christ is not raised, then his death accomplished nothing for the forgiveness of sins. And, listen closely, if Christ accomplished nothing to remove the condemnation of our sins, then we are still in them. And sin is what alienates people from God. The death of Christ, who's the Son of God, is the means by which we are forgiven and justified before God. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says it this way, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us, and much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. There it is. But none of that is so if Christ has not been raised. Paul says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. In other words, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then the death of Christ did not rescue us from our sins. It accomplished nothing. And that's, I think, what he's getting at in Romans 4:25 when he says this, Christ was delivered over to death because of our sins and was raised from the dead because of our justification. I want to read that again. Romans 4:25, Christ was delivered over to death because of our sins, and he was raised up from the dead because of our justification. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus is the proof that his death was in fact sufficient to cover all of our sins. Amen? So he says here in verse 17, if Jesus wasn't raised, then his death is useless when it comes to forgiveness. And that means that we are still sitting in the chains of sin. And if we're still sitting in the chains of sin, that leads to consequence number four. Here it is. Consequence number four. Dead people, people who are dead, are really dead. Look at verse 18. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Who's he talking about? People who had believed in Christ and died, fallen asleep, that's the metaphor. Those who had believed in Christ and who had, in the way we're thinking right now, falsely believed that he had been raised from the dead, those people who are dead, they're dead. And when Paul uses the word lost, he's saying a lot more than just dead. He's saying if Christ is not raised from the dead, then believers don't just die. They're dead also, as if that were not bad enough, without any hope at all for something after death. They're dead as a doornail. They're gone eternally. And here's consequence number five. We are to be pitied above all men. That phrase has been ringing through my noggin all week long. As I see folks out in the world going about their business as if this week meant nothing, and they did not understand that this is the week that changed the world, I can imagine that they would see me scurrying around trying to set up for this service or you getting ready to come to this or that worship opportunity. I can imagine that they would look at us and scoff. Oh, those quaint, weird religious people. They're pitiful. Verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. And this means this, the life we have chosen to live in the right here and now, based on our deep and confident hope for a future resurrection, would ultimately be indeed pitiful and foolish. Everything we've put our lives into, the weekly worship that we set aside because Christ is worthy to be adored as we are gathered in the body, all of that, it'd be silly. Fruitless, pitiful, foolish, if there is no resurrection. Paul's words to us on this Easter day, Resurrection Day 2025, they are as important but also as countercultural now as they were in his day. You ever think about that? The Bible records that there were Jewish reasons for saying that there was no resurrection from the dead. Not all Jews rejected resurrection. But the Sadducees, for example, taught that there was no resurrection. And not only that, there were also Gentile, Greek reasons as well. Remember when Paul went to Greece, he preached in Athens. Do you remember the story? The Athenians loved to debate, and they liked to hear about new ideas and all the latest philosophical notions. And they gladly listened to Paul all the way up to the point where he started talking about the resurrection from the dead. And then it fell apart. He bombed. They started laughing at him and mocking him. It's the same today with many people. All they trust in this life is what they can see or buy or taste or whatever. And all they dwell on, all that they inculcate, comes, say, from university or social media. I mean, we have people today believing that the earth is flat, that men can have babies, or that all we are is really just a sack of meat and bones with a little bit of electricity. And then when we're dead, we're dead. But Paul really, honestly, truly believed that Jesus is risen from the dead. And I do too. And I pray with all my heart that you and yours do as well. Why? Because it changes everything. So therefore, number one, believe. Believe. Believe in the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no real hope in this life or the next one apart from Him. So today you might be here and you've never really bent the knee to Christ. You've never said, I submit to you. I acknowledge your lordship. I believe that you died and you rose again. And because you did, I will too, because I am in Christ. Maybe you have never done that. Today's the day. Do it today. Believe and have that marvelous hope that the rest of us have. Number two, live in this life with confidence because of the resurrection. Do not put your hope in politics or the latest political movement. There's a lot of them to choose from. Do not put your hope in Wall Street or the latest health craze or stuff you can buy at Costco. Do not put all your ultimate hope in anything located in the here and now. Don't do it. Number three, don't fear death. I'm not looking forward to death, mind you. I'm not afraid of it. Now, I'm not especially excited about the process of it. I hear people say that all the time. Hey, I'm not afraid of death. It's just getting there that I'm a little worried about. You know, I think that's normal. But I'm not fearful of it. It still knocks me out to think about the number of Christians who lost their minds about the COVID pandemic. What in this world are you afraid of? Death? Jesus is risen. I'm not saying we should have been unnecessarily cavalier about the whole thing, but how much of a witness to the world did we Christians lose if we cowered at the fear of death like everybody else in the world did? That's just behaving as if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Do you know the name Richard Wurmbrand? He was a Lutheran pastor in Romania in the 1940s under Soviet occupation. He risked his life over and over to share the gospel boldly. I understand that he would find excuses to preach to Soviet soldiers. Why? Because Christ is risen. What really got him in trouble happened at a gathering of churches, which is deeply ironic to me. See, here's what happened. The communists were exerting more and more control over the churches. And so the churches got together to talk about how that wasn't such a bad thing. And they parroted their support of the Soviets at this conference. He was sitting next to his wife. I've heard the story from someone who was actually there. His wife got his attention and said, "Are you going to sit there and let them say this?" And so he stood up and said, "I have to, because of my conscience, give you this testimony." Eventually, he was arrested by the secret police, and he spent 3 years in solitary confinement. Why? Because Christ is risen. And the place they kept him was underground with absolutely no light, and it had been soundproof. There was no sound. Can you imagine? You would go mad. So he spent all of his time in the darkness and in silence. Why? Because Christ is risen. To keep his sanity and his faith on fire, he preached himself a sermon every day. Every day he composed and preached a sermon for himself for 3 years while he was in this solitary confinement. Why? Because Christ is risen. He stayed in that hellhole about 9 years, actually. Three of them were in solitary confinement. When he was released, he was warned not to continue preaching the gospel. But like the ancient apostles before him, he knew he had to obey God rather than man. And he continued preaching. Why? Because Christ is risen. He was arrested again 3 years later. And it was then that he was tortured and beaten and mutilated so badly that he couldn't walk correctly for the rest of his life. Eventually, Christians raised money to ransom him, to buy him out of prison. And he spent the rest of his life, you may have even heard him in person. He spent the rest of his life preaching and advocating for martyrs around the world. Why? Because Christ is risen. Listen, the timeless truth we're talking about today, the resurrection of our Lord on this Resurrection Sunday of 2025, is this, that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And that changes everything. Luke 24, 1 through 5. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Paul really, honestly, truly believed that Jesus is risen from the dead, and I do too. And I pray that all of you and yours do as well. Why? Because it changes everything. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day of new creation, that wonderful day of recapitulation where everything has been made new in and because of Christ Jesus. I pray especially today that as we gather around your table, you would help us to see this wonderful ancient future faith thing happen, this time-bending thing that we've been talking about happen. Because of the resurrection, we think about that event and the long ago. We participate now at table with Jesus himself standing among us in his resurrection power. And it points to that future day when we sit down in the new creation made possible because of the person and work of Jesus Christ at the table of the King. For we ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, who is alive and well and King of the whole universe, sovereign Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.